Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
In addition to this story that the local media doesn't want to cover, even though the rest of the world is, 11th and Locust, this showdown between the Pride Parade and the anti-Israel mob blocking them was just stunning. The anti-Israel mob doesn't even respect the Pride Parade. They're that crazy, and they usually get away with it. And in this case, the police were told to let them just stand there and box them in for a while. Imagine any other group trying to stop the Pride Parade. Just imagine how quickly you would be arrested. Worlds colliding there. But Philadelphia set out, due to this, their travel group, to break a Guinness World Book of Records for attendance at what? A drag queen story time. And they did it. In the Constitution Center, I think it was, of 263 people attending a drag queen story hour presentation. Boy, I thought that's kind of a low record. I thought it would be thousands. All right, here is a report from local news gushing covering this. And then I want to tell you what I think about the drag queen story hour and why, you know, not getting bent out of shape, as long as there's parody. If a Kirk Cameron wants to use your library for his program, for example, we've talked with him over the years a lot, then why would that be an issue if you have a drag queen story hour? Here's how it sounded as they set the record.
So today, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA, you had 263...
Storytime is, of course, a literacy program. Literacy is the foundation for success through life, so that's why we...
It had never happened before. Something felt different.
My mom told us all that she'd go to bed early.
Wake up with a free clam juice. Have a spark of clay.
Give them all a big round of applause.
All right, Jim, that's enough. We got the idea. So 263, the record here of drag queen story hour. Now, here's the thing. You know, people can have objections to this, and I understand completely why. And it's nuts that people want to take their kids to this. As long as the library has a policy here, where they're not rejecting. As I said, Kirk Cameron's thing is the other side. Then this is a little bit of a different thing. And as long as people can make the point, how are we using taxpayer dollars around this? Is this just a drag queen story hour? Or as happened in places like Florida, there was sexuality involved in one form or another. And then DeSantis put the kibosh on that, saying, no, we're not going to be letting you do that around using taxpayer dollars. 855-839-1210. But this is the pride of Philadelphia setting a record with 263 people there. All right, as I mentioned, and this is going to go on until July 11th, then we'll see another turning point. We saw over the weekend the first part, and this will be cut 12 coming up here in a minute, Jim. The first part of how does this play out, the Trump verdict. And I think if people get you just one way or another, you're going to hear a lot in the media. I've seen a lot in the media grabbing at polls and telling us, oh, it's all over. Look at this poll. Look at that. There were only a smattering, and they were a bit inconsequential. The fundraising was mind-boggling. I don't think we've seen anything like this. 70 million small donors, 130 million plus in larger donors, the Adelson widow, the casino magnat, pledging $100 million to the Trump PAC alone outside of all this. And just the energy and the stories of people saying, well, I was on the fence, or I don't personally like Trump, but this is democracy's at stake here with this weaponization of the government engaged in this. All right, so does that tell us this is a slam dunk? No, it doesn't. Remember, as dopey as Biden is, his advisors in this, they don't care that this is overturned ultimately. The judge doesn't. He's shameless. Bragg doesn't. He's a star now with them. They have one goal in mind, to peel off in a state like Pennsylvania half a percentage point with this. So these pesky people in the suburbs, did these people really pay attention to this trial? Do they really understand how, what a sham it is, the underpinnings of it, how many different ways we have to take a look at? I don't think they did. But they can comfort themselves by saying, he's a convicted felon, I can't vote for him. So that's where the tension is. Which one is going to outrace the other? And it's really going to come to a head, though. And this is overplaying their hand. Now, if Trump wears the bag, play this out with me. Tell me what you think. There's damage. I'm not going to tell you potential damage here of convicted felon. But if Judge Marchand, and I think it's 50-50 at this point, decides to try to jail Trump on July 11th, now we're into a different realm. Now, instead of convicted felon, we're actually putting him in jail or attempting to do that. I'm not sure that you can get away with saying, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. That this isn't just a ploy to take him off the campaign trail. Which, I'm starting to believe Trump really doesn't need to camp. Wherever he is the campaign. Everything revolves around him. Yeah, I know you want to drill down. You want to go to a swing state like Pennsylvania. I hear that. But by and large, I think Trump, just as an entity, is going to be able to prosecute this campaign. Here is Sonny Hostin talking about her buddies in the Bragg DA's office and what they're saying about July 11th, cut 12.
Judge Marchand has, I think he has really done a good job in terms of keeping that courtroom together. Yes. I spent this morning speaking to someone from the Manhattan District Attorney's office. They're called Street Fighters. He believes that they will recommend a one-year term in prison. And that is because when you spend a year in prison in New York or under, you serve in Rikers Island. Okay? Also, I did some research.
Right.
The other thing I'd like to say is the other reason that they will do this is because he has shown an utter disregard for our institutions. Yes. And prosecutors, when you are recommending a sentence, you are not just recommending a sentence so that they can be rehabilitated or so that they can be punished. You're sending a message to the community.
Yes.
That this is not going to happen again. Sorry. This is not okay. The other thing I want to say is that there's another thing that they will likely recommend is a 6-month split. 6 months at Rikers, and then the rest, 5 years, 4.5 years of probation. That is under New York law.
And 6 months at this table.
Now, and finally, very, 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 very quickly, when you violate parole, there's something called a VOP, a violation of parole, probation hearing. You have to show up to probation. A man with the temperament of a toddler cannot withstand all of the things that you would have to do to be on probation, and that means he could be sent back.
But can I mention how just...
All right, so is that really going to turn, despite the ladies of the view, the moron element, Rikers Island? And here's the word all weekend long, and they're trying to throw it back at us. So you guys think, particularly on Twitter, you're law and order. I was filling in on a night show, national show on Friday night. A couple people calling in. So, Law and Order Dom, huh? You have no respect for the system. So we're told we have to respect this. What's disrespectful about analyzing this? What's disrespectful? Every commentator, even on the other side, they were happy about this, said they used the word novel. Remember that word novel, N-O-V-E-L, meaning new, different approach of bank shotting all these things. They use the word novel. They like it because they believe it got Trump, and they're right. Novel, though. So I'm not supposed to analyze that. I'm not supposed to be talking about appeals. I'm not supposed to be talking about looking at every option, including the Supreme Court. That's all disrespectful and reckless. Speaking of which, today, I didn't wear the bib yet, because the trial didn't start. Today is just the jury choosing for Hunter Biden. And Biden, my son, did nothing wrong. Miranda Devine in the New York Post today with a big column saying Biden pulling into Wilmington yesterday, sending a message. He's watching all this. There'll be repercussions if you go after little Hunter Biden. And if you listen every day or most of the time, what I resent about Hunter Biden is the following. You have this white privilege, inequality, constant message of this, usually by a Kennedy or a Biden, who is the white guy who's supposed to be in charge, and every other person who's white, they're supposed to attack for white supremacy somehow or another. Hunter Biden is the leading edge of almost any portrait that you could find. A privilege of getting away with stuff. And what I resent most with the Bidens, and particularly Hunter Biden, how many times do they resort to addiction? How many times do they diminish, I think, people who have overcome something without all this aid, who have paid a price, have had to deal with it and go on? And constantly we're warned, poor Hunter. If these Republicans don't stop, I don't know what could happen to them. How many things do you get involved in? The affair with the widow, a Bobot. I mean, how many, the stupid artwork, the con games, just the stripper in Mississippi. How much of this stuff? And if you want to say, well, look at President Trump. Yeah, well, people took a look at that. And they took a look at his policies. We look at Hunter Biden, though, and the use of addiction as the shield constantly here. And they're going to try to do it in this case. They're going to try to say psychologically, he probably didn't think he was an addict. He's written about it in his memoir, what he did with the gun. And somehow or another, hoping that people that revere the Second Amendment are going to say, well, wait a minute. I don't like these federal filings and all the rest of it. It's a lot bigger than just the federal filings. This guy has been out of control for year after year after year. And we're supposed to respect the so-called justice system in New York, and yet you already have President Biden weighing in on this, and we're being told, well, that's just a father's love. All right, 855-839, Rikers Island now. Can you imagine just, I think it's 50-50, though. This judge is emboldened. He thinks there's no comeuppance on him. He doesn't care about his reputation. He doesn't care about his legal standing. He's already damaged that by the kangaroo court that he ran. He will be overturned on appeal. I would be shocked if he's not. And coming up, I'll play you Mark Levin. A good way to look at the National Democrat Party. They were the party of slavery. And he says they're the party of the Confederacy now. And there's a lot there. What they're going to do is use lawfare against anybody. It does not matter. Joe Biden must keep the power. And one of the major reasons why are all the people in the White House, etc., who, because of this doddering president, they have the real power. They have tremendous power that an active president who knew what he was doing would not allow. And they're not going to give that up. She's not going to want to leave the White House. 855-839-1210. You get on board. No jurors seated yet in the Hunter Biden trial. About 25 people moved on to the jury pool, 15 dismissed. I think by tomorrow, we might have the jury pool here. And this is a pretty straightforward case. And you know the backstory of it. The fix was in. The plea deal was in. And what happened was we had a federal judge of consequence who would not go along with it. Of course, sitting in the courtroom today, Dr. Jill Biden. The more you see her, the more you can't stomach it. All right. So, Joe Biden says that Hunter's resilience in the face of adversity, the strength he has brought to his recovery, are inspiring to us. Look, we've had people call in, some of the most moving calls imaginable. You may remember one of someone wanted to go into treatment, called into the show, and Pastor Bill Devlin made that happen. So we respect that. But not the way the Bidens have gamed this, the way that Hunter Biden has gamed the whole thing of addiction constantly. We're reminded of that when legitimate complaints are raised about any of this. All right, phone lines again, 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All right, 1:30 on the Dom Show. We'll be joined by Caroline Leavitt, the national spokesperson for the Trump campaign, and catch you up on a couple of things. Jeff Andrew at 2 o'clock, but you right now on the phone at 855-839-1210. And as I said, a little bit too early to tell how this verdict will shake out, but it is staggering, the anger, as represented by the fundraising and the fact that these, a lot of these are new donors, over 30%. That's a good sign. But again, the other side's whole goal here, they were willing to risk everything just to get those half of a percentage point in the swing states, particularly in Pennsylvania or in Michigan, suburbs of Pittsburgh, suburbs of Philadelphia. We can't have this. How much are you really paying attention to it? Do you get the premise here of what was put together? They're looking for a reason to finally say, I can't vote for Trump. All right? And yet they can withstand the damage that Biden's doing. We'll see. We'll see how, you know, which one starts. It's going to be a different ballgame, though, with Marchand on July 11th. And I think more and more people that I talk with are sensing he could push for jail time. And if that happens, that is a completely new dynamic. Imagine on the eve. That's why I like him. We're trying to get him on the show, Representative Corey Mills. He says Republicans, auto, I guess digitally he means, nominate and affirm President Trump on July 4th. Yeah, big day, July 4th. And then use that as a mechanism to show July 4th, standing with the president, call attention to it. Whatever happens on the 11th doesn't really have as much sting. Why wouldn't this guy do it? You know, he's just blatantly run a kangaroo court. People like Alan Dershowitz, who was in the courtroom, have seen it. I still can't forgive the jury, and I'm told that's reckless. You know, let the jury alone. No, I think they just succumbed. I just can't imagine there weren't a couple people in the jury that said this is bogus from start to finish. In all the ways that we talked about. And again, I don't think this judge, though, has it in him to recommend 50 years in jail or something. But you heard Sonny Hostin. Yeah, I could see it. Rikers Island, that's what we want. How's the public going to react to that? How are these people in the suburbs going to react? I don't, you know, it just day after day, I see the breakthroughs that Trump has made. I see how doddering Biden is. I see the destruction. I see that the various Arab nations now are going to OPEC is going to jack up the price of oil. And you know what Trump would do? It wouldn't happen with Trump. We would be all out, full bore with our energy sources. We were energy independent. Biden can't do that. So is he going to release our strategic oil, every drop of it? Just release it all. I have to get over that finish line. That's the driving force of a lot of this now. It would be completely different in a Trump versus a Biden administration. All right, Barry's got a good one here, particularly given Vice President Kamala Harris. Barry in Medford. Hey, Barry, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Dom. How you doing?
Good, Barry.
Right. I thought this would be perfect. And it's ironic why a complete simpleton like our vice president can actually brag about using the analyzing relationships in a diagram.
The Venn diagram, yes. I've always liked the Venn diagram myself. I like the pie chart better, but they're right. Akin to it. But she goes off as if she discovered plutonium or something. My God.
Exactly.
That is a good one, Barry. Venn diagram, gotcha. So far, we got the Venn diagram, and we have the Mendoza line. Both are good, Barry. Let me write that down today. Let's go to Joe of Exton. He's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Joe, afternoon.
Yes, hello, Dom, and happy Monday afternoon.
Thank you, Joe.
My object, which is known by the name of its innovator, is the Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, do you know anything about it, Joe? Who was Molotov and how did he come up with that?
He is a Russian, of course. But,
yes.
I don't know very much about him.
Yeah, you couldn't make a World War II film like Saving Private Ryan without the Molotov cocktail being part of it.
No, that's right.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, Molotov cocktail is a good one. Mendoza line and Venn diagram. So today is the Heimlich Maneuver Day. Just a great, if not invention, a process or a medical thing. A lot of medical ones are named after you. I don't know how it feels if you get a disease named after you. But a discovery, an invention, a process that's named after you. Tommy John surgery. All right, let's take that one off the board, right? Prior to that, people just couldn't pitch. Now, some of them seem like, after Tommy John surgery, they come back stronger. It's a stronger muscle or something goes on there to enable them to play. Robert in Ben Salem, he's on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Robert.
Hi, Dom. It's good to talk to you today.
Same here.
You know, when I was 20 in 1984, I donated $25 to Reagan's presidential campaign. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it since. But on Saturday, I donated $193 to Trump's campaign, and I'm going to do that for the first of the month, for every month until the election.
Wow. Why 193? Why 193?
I don't know. They have funny ways of doing it. I think anything over 200 has to be handled in a different way or something like that.
Okay.
So I just picked the highest I could without having to go through a bunch of hula hoops, you know. But I'm going to do it every month because I'm had a barbecue with the kids, and I want to save this country for them, and we are in a war. And a little...
Well, Robert, I think I told the story. I was filling in nationally last week. I had a guy call who said the most he ever donated was $25, like to a Reagan or something. And he was writing a check on the air for $10,000 when he was talking to me. So that's one metric. You know what my fear is, and I'm trying to calm people toward this, of how do we deal with this? These pesky insulated people in the suburbs, though, Democrats are they're getting what they want with that tag of convicted felon. I'm almost hoping Mershon oversteps and starts talking about jail time, because if that doesn't seal it to the average American, I don't know what will.
I don't think it'll get there. I think this will be thrown out before July 11th, but that's just my opinion.
You mean Supreme Court? Yeah.
If they don't, they are derelict in their duty, man. That's all. I'm not going to go on because I don't want to take too much time, but I'll have my side answer.
Yes.
Mr. Trump wins re-election. I'm pretty sure all of them ladies in quotation marks on The View are going to be jumping up and down in anger. And when they do, I suspect it will come up on the Richter scale.
Nicely played.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you. I love how you tied all that together. Oh, there's another thing to get to the finish line. Could you see The View on November 6th? Oh, my goodness. Where else would you like to see on November 6th if there's a big Trump win? Well, I don't know if we'll know on November 6th. I know we're supposed to, with all the safeguards put into play. At some point, early morning on November 6th, you would think we would know. But this is going to be close. There's no doubt about it. And I don't know about the Supreme Court intervening in this. If Sam Alito were the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, I could more likely see intervention. I think Mark Levin is right. Oh, man, can you imagine an intervention here? Removing the stigma. What would the people in the suburbs say? Well, I don't know. I still think he's a convicted felon. I mean, just stop for a moment. Isn't this remarkable that Trump is able to break through in various groups, particularly so-called working class, black, Latino, you know the whole story. And yet, just places like Bucks and Chester County and all that, it's a little bit up in the air. All right, coming up, we're going to talk with Caroline Leavitt. Caroline is the president's spokesperson, and we'll try to dig into what happens next here. Those are great on the side question, though. Don't let them take all the good ones. I got three or four here that are really in contention based upon the call and everything else. Jeff Andrew, too, will be here at 2 o'clock today. Phone lines are 855-839-1210. June is Men's Health Month. With Rescue Natural Supplements. Life is busy. It can be hard to focus on your health. Thankfully, Rescue Men's Health Supplements have the vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that provide men with what they need. Rescue supplements can help boost testosterone, promote a healthy prostate, as well as support energy and vitality for an active life. And for the month of June, when you buy one of their Men's Health single bottles, you'll receive a second totally free. Just use the code STRENGTH. For the buy one, get one offer. To order, call a Rescue Product Consultant at 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483, or shop online by visiting res-q.com, res-q.com. Discover the amazing benefits of Rescue Natural Male, Prime RX, Super Prostate, and more. Just use that code STRENGTH for the buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Men's Health Products. STRENGTH for the buy one, get one free offer on Rescue Men's Health Products. Shop res-q.com and do it today.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, it is Dom time. Shortly, we should be joined by the Trump national spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt. Here is Mark Levin, though. This is Cut 13. Saying something interesting. I think this was on his Saturday show on Fox. And Mark has been the most diligent tracing the history of the Democrat Party, slavery, Jim Crow, all of that, and calling what they did here the new Confederacy. a Confederacy that doesn't care about federal law. It just cares about getting into this little bubble of New York City with a rogue prosecutor, progressive prosecutor, a rogue judge, the daughter, and a jury boxed in and saying, yeah, we're here to get Trump. We don't care about anything else. Here's Mark Levin.
What was done to Donald Trump in that courtroom, in addition to everything you heard, is an attempt to nullify the federal Constitution, due process, equal protection. That's what took place. The Democrat Party is the new Confederacy. That's right. It was the old Confederacy. Now it's the new Confederacy. Reverse federalism, where a judge and a prosecutor steal the jurisdictional power of the federal government. And all that implies, the Constitution, federal election laws, and these entire processes, that is reverse federalism. That is nullification. That is the new Confederacy. That's what Joe Biden, the old Confederate, and that's what his Marxist supporters now support. This needs to be fought.
All right. I like that. I like that as a frame, too. That's exactly right of what they've always been about. The Constitution stands in their way. That's why we saw so much with the statues over a period of time. It's not so much just about that. It's about getting rid of the fundamentals of the country so they can move more and more left. And the Constitution is something that stands in their way. They bypassed that here. Mark is right. They got into this venue in New York, and they were able to cobble together stuff that is a state crime and mix it in with a federal crime, allegedly, and come up with this conviction. By the way, President Biden, and I am amazed that even he's bold enough to do it. This week, all reports are out there, and this will be big news, set to announce a border executive action this week, giving amnesty to about 350,000 people that are in the country illegally, most of them from Venezuela, as we understand it. It's staggering, is it not? And the idea that he would still continue to engage in this after all the backlash that has come his way, so much so that illegal immigration is often beyond inflation is the number one issue that Americans care about. So let him bring it on here. All right. We have with us the president's national spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt, is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Caroline, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Before we get a sense of where the Trump campaign is, Caroline, tell me what you make of President Biden. Seems to be certain this week, executive action with 350,000 people in the country illegally.
Well, I think it's too little too late from Joe Biden. He's trying to appear tough on the issue of the southern border when he's been anything but that. Joe Biden has allowed a mass invasion of our country. There are nearly 20 million illegal people that we know of who have flooded our nation and every single state within it. Not only have they caused a crumbling of the infrastructure in Democrat-run sanctuary cities, these illegal migrants have also created a crime wave that cannot be ignored. Just last night, an illegal immigrant from Venezuela who was allowed to be released into the country because of Biden's border policy was caught in New York after he gunned down two New York police officers. This is a convicted criminal from Venezuela who was sent here, allowed in. Taxpayers have been paying for him to live in a migrant shelter hotel in New York, and this is what he does. How many more criminals like that are there out there? A lot, because we see local headlines from every state across this country in communities, both urban and suburban, about the crimes that these heinous illegal criminals are committing. Joe Biden could truly shut down the border entirely with the swipe of a pen if he wanted to, but he refuses because he's controlled by the far-left open border globalists in his party. And this executive order is not going to make a difference. It's not going to change the trajectory of the bloodbath that his border policies have created.
Caroline, give us the latest, if you have that. And it's pretty hard to keep up with it because it's so enormous. The most intriguing stat to me is not the $200 million plus raised almost immediately after the verdict, but it's the new donors. And I know you know that's critical. So tell us what you can about the fundraiser.
Well, we are so excited about the overwhelming support that we've seen come in from donors, both small and large, since President Trump was shamefully convicted in this Biden witch hunt in New York. We've raised more than $53 million in the first 24 hours after the verdict. And the most remarkable part about that, well, first of all, to put it into context for your audience, $53 million in a day is more than Joe Biden and the Democrat Party raised in the entire month of April. So that it's a remarkable number, but 30% of those donors are new donors to President Trump. They've never donated to him. They've never donated to a political candidate or party in their life. And it just shows the ground.
Caroline Leavitt with us here.
Open arms. Okay. And not only.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Caroline. It was just a little technical internal here, but go ahead.
No, we're just very excited about the fundraising numbers, and we will have more to announce later today about the entirety of the numbers that we raised for the month of May.
What's the big thing we should expect coming up? We know the sentencing potentially on July 11th. Are there going to be rallies? Are there going to be other things going on between now and then?
Oh, absolutely. We just announced today that President Trump is hosting a town hall in Arizona on Thursday night of this week, and he'll also be hosting a big rally in Las Vegas, Nevada on Saturday. So if your audience is interested in attending either of those, I know they're far from Pennsylvania, but go to DonaldJTrump.com to get your tickets. And I'd also encourage your audience to go to DonaldJTrump.com to sign up to volunteer, because while we do have a significant money pouring in and we appreciate the donations, we also need people on the ground helping get out the vote ahead of November 5th, especially in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is such a huge battleground state that we must win. And so we need all hands on deck to do it.
What can you tell us, Caroline, about the Elon Musk X town hall with President Trump?
President Trump or our campaign, don't believe what you read in the news.
Absolutely. Caroline, thank you. Thanks very much. Again, give us where people can go to volunteer.
DonaldJTrump.com. You can sign up to volunteer. You can make a contribution. And we.
All right, Caroline, thank you. Thanks very much. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you need to do is just push pound 1210. All right. So, big money. Big stakes. What are the metrics involved here? That's what we're looking at, the battle between all these new donors. You know how many people that is, small donors, to raise, at least as of yesterday, it was $70 million in that brief period of time. Just remarkable. All right, let me tell you about Dr. Benson. More of your calls coming up. Jeff Van Drew at 2 o'clock. I've told you about my friend and dentist, Dr. Robert Benz, especially all the infrastructure he has. And one thing he does that you don't see in other offices, whether it's a routine visit, comprehensive, multifaceted process, he and his staff sit down with you. They create a clear plan step by step. This is rare. I know in my own case, it's just a simple cleaning of what are you going to do in the future to keep up this good work, that kind of thing. And if you have questions right now, you can call them. If you've been putting off a dental problem, if you're really ready to get the smile you've always wanted, now's the time to call Dr. Robert Benz, my dentist, board-certified prosthodontist, the Benz Dental Group. You'll see that Benz difference. Make that appointment today two ways. Visit Benz, B-E-N-T-Z, dentalgroup.com or call 610-272-6949. Dr. Robert Benz, 610-272-6949.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. Jeff Van Drew coming up. As you know, his background is in dentistry. We're going to ask him about President Trump. He speaks with him often at 2 o'clock, but also the Fauci testimony. This Representative McCormick, Republican, who was on the committee today, is a physician and helped treat patients during COVID, said his medical license was threatened because I disagreed with bureaucrats. And again, Democrats today trying to make this the sainted Dr. Fauci. We can't get any admission to any degree, it seems, Even on the six-foot rule, Democrats, and I noticed this, jumped into the ring and immediately said, well, does it not help to be spaced from people to prevent the transmission of disease? Well, any moron knows that, that yes, that's the case at some level. But the problem was, you may remember right here in Bucks County with those weasels, those commissioners. Dr. Damsker, three-foot rule was enough, and that kept people in classrooms. Remember that? And then all of a sudden, that woman who headed the Good Afternoon Woman that headed up the health communications and all that with Wolf calls up Bucks County, Damsker in the basement, schools are out. He was making a play across the state. And Dr. Fauci admitted, well, this was not empirical. This was just a gut instinct. And then he tried to claim the CDC is the one that came up with the six-foot rule. But he was the one in charge more than the CDC. If Dr. Fauci said something in some way, shape, or form, you know that was going to carry more luster than the CDC. So where did the six-foot rule come from? And the answer is out of thin air. But we weren't allowed to hear that today. And a couple of these Democrats went really wild, blaming 300,000 deaths in the United States on people who were unvaccinated. Yep, we still saw that play out today. No admission of anything. Nothing where everybody could agree, at least in broad terms, if we had another incident like this, of what we should avoid. Nope, none of that. Nothing learned by this. The difference, though, is you have this guy, Morenz, who was the chief, the number two to Fauci, talking about under oath, because he was under oath recently. We have that transcript now. Talking about back channels communications with Fauci to avoid Freedom of Information Act. Fauci denied it today. So everybody's on the record now. And he kind of, Rand Paul on his Twitter put it out there. He's thrown this guy Morenz under the bus. What's that guy going to do? He's going to be called back. Who's telling the truth here? The second in command or Fauci? So that's the new front today. We have him on record. We have the other guy on record. We have this allegation of back channels being used, right? And now we're looking toward the next step to resolve who's telling the truth. I know these things grind very slowly. It's been years of this, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it operates. But that is the new part to Fauci today. We even heard, shamefully, the Democrat congressman from Baltimore. I think there was some back and forth. Fauci is an old-fashioned believer in torturing animals, which a lot of people in his position don't agree with anymore, as far as medical experimentation to the degree that he does. And this guy starts bringing up the Tuskegee experiment. That was thrown into the mix. So Democrats doing all that they can so that there can't be any sense at all of just the slightest connection to what did we learn from the COVID crisis? What is it that is the takeaway? And after today's testimony, the battle over the origin of this, Fauci still holding to some weird definition of enhanced research around this gain of function that Rand Paul wrote chapters in his book about. So I hope to get Rand Paul on this week. I kind of wish that Rand Paul, I know you can't tag him in from the Senate. That would have been a much more interesting battle. It was intense. And there were a number of moments here. But the biggest takeaway is we have these two people on the record now. How do we shake loose which one's telling the truth? It would appear to be Morenz, since he is the chief of staff, if you will, the second in command of Fauci. And he doesn't want to go to jail for perjuring himself, lying under oath in the House. So he said what was truthful, and there appears to be these back channels to avoid public scrutiny. Not that much on the schools today, not as much as I would have liked. But we'll see where this goes. All right, side question today. It's Heimlich Maneuver Day. Give us a name of a process, an invention, a medical thing attached to it. Joe in Westchester. Joe, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah, Dom.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay, it is Dom time. Shortly, we should be joined by the Trump national spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt. Here is Mark Levin, though. This is Cut 13, saying something interesting. I think this was on his Saturday show on Fox. And Mark has been the most diligent, tracing the history of the Democrat Party, slavery, Jim Crow, all of that, and calling what they did here the New Confederacy. A confederacy that doesn't care about federal law. It just cares about getting into this little bubble of New York City with a rogue prosecutor, progressive prosecutor, a rogue judge, the daughter, and a jury boxed in and saying, yeah, we're here to get Trump. We don't care about anything else. Here's Mark Levin.
What was done to Donald Trump in that courtroom, in addition to everything you heard, is an attempt to nullify the federal Constitution, due process, equal protection. That's what took place. The Democrat Party is the new Confederacy. That's right. It was the old Confederacy. Now it's the new Confederacy. Reverse federalism, where a judge and a prosecutor steal the jurisdictional power of the federal government. And all that implies, the Constitution, federal election laws, and these entire processes, that is reverse federalism, that is nullification, that is the new Confederacy. That's what Joe Biden, the old Confederate, and that's what his Marxist supporters now support. This needs to be fought.
All right. I like that. I like that as a frame, too. That's exactly right of what they've always been about. The Constitution stands in their way. That's why we saw so much with the statues over a period of time. It's not so much just about that. It's about getting rid of the fundamentals of the country so they can move more and more left. And the Constitution is something that stands in their way. They bypassed that here. Mark is right. They got into this venue in New York, and they were able to cobble together stuff that is a state crime and mix it in with a federal crime, allegedly, and come up with this conviction. By the way, President Biden, and I am amazed that even he's bold enough to do it. This week, all reports are out there, and this will be big news, set to announce a border executive action this week, giving amnesty to about 350,000 people that are in the country illegally, most of them from Venezuela, as we understand it. It's staggering, is it not? And the idea that he would still continue to engage in this after all the backlash that has come his way, so much so that illegal immigration is often beyond inflation as the number one issue that Americans care about. So let him bring it on here. All right, we have with us the president's national spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt, is with us here on Talk Radio 1210. Caroline, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Before we get a sense of where the Trump campaign is, Caroline, tell me what you make of President Biden. Seems to be certain this week, executive action with 350,000 people in the country illegally.
Well, I think it's too little too late from Joe Biden. He's trying to appear tough on the issue of the southern border when he's been anything but that. Joe Biden has allowed a mass invasion of our country. There are nearly 20 million illegal people that we know of who have flooded our nation and every single state within it. Not only have they caused a crumbling of the infrastructure in Democrat-run sanctuary cities, these illegal migrants have also created a crime wave that cannot be ignored. Just last night, an illegal immigrant from Venezuela who was allowed to be released into the country because of Biden's border policy was caught in New York after he gunned down two New York police officers.
This is a convicted criminal from Venezuela who was sent here, allowed in. Taxpayers have been paying for him to live in a migrant shelter hotel in New York, and this is what he does. How many more criminals like that are there out there? A lot, because we see local headlines from every state across this country in communities, both urban and suburban, about the crimes that these heinous illegal criminals are committing. Joe Biden could truly shut down the border entirely with the swipe of a pen if he wanted to, but he refuses because he's controlled by the far-left open border globalists in his party. And this executive order is not going to make a difference. It's not going to change the trajectory of the bloodbath that his border policies have created.
Caroline, give us the latest, if you have that. And it's pretty hard to keep up with it because it's so enormous. The most intriguing stat to me is not the $200 million plus raised almost immediately after the verdict, but it's the new donors. And I know you know that's critical. So tell us what you can about the fundraiser.
Well, we are so excited about the overwhelming support that we've seen come in from donors, both small and large, since President Trump was shamefully convicted in this Biden witch hunt in New York. We raised more than $53 million in the first 24 hours after the verdict. And the most remarkable part about that, well, first of all, to put it into context for your audience, $53 million in a day is more than Joe Biden and the Democrat Party raised in the entire month of April. So it's a remarkable number, but 30% of those donors are new donors to President Trump. They've never donated to him. They've never donated to a political candidate or party in their life. And it just shows the ground.
Caroline Leavitt with us here.
Open arms.
Okay.
And not only.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Caroline. It was just a little technical internal here, but go ahead.
No, we're just very excited about the fundraising numbers, and we will have more to announce later today about the entirety of the numbers that we raised for the month of May.
What's the big thing we should expect coming up? We know the sentencing potentially on July 11th. Are there going to be rallies? Are there going to be other things going on between now and then?
Oh, absolutely. We just announced today that President Trump is hosting a town hall in Arizona on Thursday night of this week, and he'll also be hosting a big rally in Las Vegas, Nevada on Saturday. So if your audience is interested in attending either of those, I know they're far from Pennsylvania, but go to DonaldJTrump.com to get your tickets. And I'd also encourage your audience to go to DonaldJTrump.com to sign up to volunteer, because while we do have a significant money pouring in and we appreciate the donations, we also need people on the ground helping get out the vote ahead of November 5th, especially in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is such a huge battleground state that we must win. And so we need all hands on deck to do it.
What can you tell us, Caroline, about the Elon Musk X town hall with President Trump?
President Trump or our campaign, don't believe what you read in the news.
Absolutely. Caroline, thank you. Thanks very much. Again, give us where people can go to volunteer.
DonaldJTrump.com. You can sign up to volunteer. You can make a contribution. And we.
All right, Caroline, thank you. Thanks very much. 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you need to do is just push pound 1210. All right. So, big money. Big stakes. What are the metrics involved here? That's what we're looking at, the battle between all these new donors. You know how many people that is, small donors, to raise, at least as of yesterday, it was $70 million in that brief period of time. Just remarkable. All right, let me tell you about Dr. Benson. More of your calls coming up. Jeff Van Drew at 2 o'clock. I've told you about my friend and dentist, Dr. Robert Benz, especially all the infrastructure he has. And one thing he does that you don't see in other offices, whether it's a routine visit, comprehensive, multifaceted process, he and his staff sit down with you. They create a clear plan step by step. This is rare. I know in my own case, it's just a simple cleaning of what are you going to do in the future to keep up this good work, that kind of thing. And if you have questions right now, you can call them. If you've been putting off a dental problem, if you're really ready to get the smile you've always wanted, now's the time to call Dr. Robert Benz, my dentist, board-certified prosthodontist, the Benz Dental Group. You'll see that Benz difference. Make that appointment today two ways. Visit Bentz, B-E-N-T-Z, dentalgroup.com or call 610-272-6949. Dr. Robert Bentz, 610-272-6949.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
All right, it is Dom time. Jeff Van Drew coming up. As you know, his background is in dentistry. We're going to ask him about President Trump. He speaks with him often at 2 o'clock, but also the Fauci testimony. This Representative McCormick, Republican, who was on the committee today, is a physician and helped treat patients during COVID, said his medical license was threatened because I disagreed with bureaucrats. And again, Democrats today trying to make this the sainted Dr. Fauci. We can't get any admission to any degree, it seems. Even on the six-foot rule, Democrats, and I noticed this, jumped into the ring and immediately said, well, does it not help to be spaced from people to prevent the transmission of disease? Well, any moron knows that yes, that's the case. At some level. But the problem was, you may remember right here in Bucks County with those weasels, those commissioners. Dr. Damsker, 3-foot rule was enough. And that kept people in classrooms. Remember that? And then all of a sudden, that woman who headed the Good Afternoon Woman that headed up the health communications and all that with Wolf calls up Bucks County, Damsker in the basement. Schools are out. He was making a play across the state. And Dr. Fauci admitted, well, this was not empirical. This was just a gut instinct. And then he tried to claim the CDC is the one that came up with the 6-foot rule. But he was the one in charge more than the CDC. If Dr. Fauci said something in some way, shape, or form, you know that was going to carry more luster than the CDC. So where did the 6-foot rule come from? And the answer is out of thin air. But we weren't allowed to hear that today. And a couple of these Democrats went really wild, blaming 300,000 deaths in the United States on people who were unvaccinated. Yep, we still saw that play out today. No admission of anything. Nothing where everybody could agree, at least in broad terms, if we had another incident like this, of what we should avoid. Nope, none of that. Nothing learned by this. The difference, though, is you have this guy, Morenz, who was the chief, the number two to Fauci, talking about under oath, because he was under oath recently. We have that transcript now. Talking about back channels communications with Fauci to avoid Freedom of Information Act. Fauci denied it today. So everybody's on the record now. And he kind of, Rand Paul on his Twitter put it out there. He's thrown this guy Morenz under the bus. What's that guy going to do? He's going to be called back. Who's telling the truth here? The second in command or Fauci? So that's the new front today. We have him on record. We have the other guy on record. We have this allegation of back channels being used, right? And now we're looking toward the next step to resolve who's telling the truth. I know these things grind very slowly. It's been years of this, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it operates. But that is the new part to Fauci today. We even heard, shamefully, the Democrat congressman from Baltimore. I think there was some back and forth. Fauci is an old-fashioned believer in torturing animals, which a lot of people in his position don't agree with anymore as far as medical experimentation to the degree that he does. And this guy starts bringing up the Tuskegee experiment. That was thrown into the mix. So Democrats doing all that they can so that there can't be any sense at all of just the slightest connection to what did we learn from the COVID crisis? What is it that is the takeaway? And after today's testimony, the battle over the origin of this, Fauci still holding to some weird definition of enhanced research around this gain of function that Rand Paul wrote chapters in his book about. So I hope to get Rand Paul on this week. I kind of wish that Rand Paul, I know you can't tag him in from the Senate. That would have been a much more interesting battle. It was intense, and there were a number of moments here. But the biggest takeaway is we have these two people on the record now. How do we shake loose which one's telling the truth? It would appear to be Moran's, since he is the chief of staff, if you will, the second in command of Fauci. And he doesn't want to go to jail for perjuring himself, lying under oath in the House. So he said what was truthful. And there appears to be these back channels to avoid public scrutiny. Not that much on the schools today, not as much as I would have liked. But we'll see where this goes. All right. Side question today. It's Heimlich Maneuver Day. Give us a name of a process, an invention, a medical thing attached to it. Joe in Westchester. Joe, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah, Dom. It's Joe in Westchester. I'm in Hazleton now. So in the beginning of the Poconos here for a few days. Anyway, with my wife. Anyway, I said Murphy's Law, meaning that it's kind of a philosophy that I live by and a lot of people too. Way that one is, if anything could go wrong, it will go wrong. It makes me be real careful. And when I decided to do a little home repair myself, I said, no.
Good. Murphy's Law. Yeah, Murphy. Who's Murphy? Murphy's the guy that invented it. That's a good one. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for today. All right. Jeff Van Drew, as a direct line to President Trump, we'll see what he's thinking, what Trump's thinking coming out of this and the upcoming sentencing on July 11th. We have Dom's Money Melody. We got the side question going on. And I'll update you a little bit more on the whole matter of President Trump saying why he didn't go after Hillary Clinton. Think it was a wise decision. All right. Shame Joe Biden, though, couldn't resist. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD. Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.
All right, it is Dom time. Jeff Van Drew coming up. As you know, his background is in dentistry. We're going to ask him about President Trump. He speaks with him often at 2 o'clock, but also the Fauci testimony. This Representative McCormick, Republican, who was on the committee today, is a physician and helped treat patients during COVID, said his medical license was threatened because I disagreed with bureaucrats. And again, Democrats today trying to make this the sainted Dr. Fauci. We can't get any admission to any degree, it seems. Even on the 6-foot rule, Democrats, and I noticed this, jumped into the ring and immediately said, well, does it not help to be spaced from people to prevent the transmission of disease? Well, any moron knows that yes, that's the case at some level. But the problem was, you may remember right here in Bucks County with those weasels, those commissioners, Dr. Damsker, 3-foot rule was enough. And that kept people in classrooms. Remember that? And then all of a sudden, that woman who headed the Good Afternoon Woman that headed up the health communications and all that with Wolf calls up Bucks County, Damsker in the basement, schools are out. He was making a play across the state. And Dr. Fauci admitted, well, this was not empirical. This was just a gut instinct. And then he tried to claim the CDC is the one that came up with the 6-foot rule. But he was the one in charge more than the CDC. If Dr. Fauci said something in some way, shape, or form, you know that was going to carry more luster than the CDC. So where did the 6-foot rule come from? And the answer is out of thin air. But we weren't allowed to hear that today. And a couple of these Democrats went really wild, blaming 300,000 deaths in the United States on people who were unvaccinated. Yep, we still saw that play out today. No admission of anything. Nothing where everybody could agree, at least in broad terms, if we had another incident like this, of what we should avoid. Nope, none of that. Nothing learned by this. The difference, though, is you have this guy, Morenz, who was the chief, the number two to Fauci, talking about under oath, because he was under oath recently. We have that transcript now. Talking about back channels communications with Fauci to avoid Freedom of Information Act. Fauci denied it today. So everybody's on the record now. And he kind of, Rand Paul on his Twitter put it out there. He's thrown this guy Morenz under the bus. What's that guy going to do? He's going to be called back. Who's telling the truth here? The second in command or Fauci? So that's the new front today. We have him on record. We have the other guy on record. We have this allegation of back channels being used, right? And now we're looking toward the next step to resolve who's telling the truth. I know these things grind very slowly. It's been years of this, but that's the way it goes. That's the way it operates. But that is the new part to Fauci today. We even heard, shamefully, the Democrat congressman from Baltimore. I think there was some back and forth. Fauci is an old-fashioned believer in torturing animals, which a lot of people in his position don't agree with anymore, as far as medical experimentation, to the degree that he does. And this guy starts bringing up the Tuskegee experiment. That was thrown into the mix. So Democrats doing all that they can so that there can't be any sense at all of just the slightest connection to what did we learn from the COVID crisis? What is it that is the takeaway? And after today's testimony, the battle over the origin of this, Fauci still holding to some weird definition of enhanced research around this gain of function that Rand Paul wrote chapters in his book about. So I hope to get Rand Paul on this week. I kind of wish that Rand Paul, I know you can't tag him in from the Senate. That would have been a much more interesting battle. It was intense. And there were a number of moments here. But the biggest takeaway is we have these two people on the record now. How do we shake loose which one's telling the truth? It would appear to be Morenz, since he is the chief of staff, if you will, the second in command of Fauci. And he doesn't want to go to jail for perjuring himself, lying under oath in the House. So he said what was truthful, and there appears to be these back channels to avoid public scrutiny. Not that much on the schools today, not as much as I would have liked, but we'll see where this goes. All right, side question today, it's Heimlich Maneuver Day. Give us a name of a process, an invention, a medical thing attached to it. Joe in Westchester. Joe, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah, Dom. It's Joe in Westchester. I'm in Hazleton now. So I,
okay.
In the beginning of the Poconos here for a few days. Anyway, with my wife. Anyway, I said Murphy's Law, meaning that it's kind of a philosophy that I live by and a lot of people too. Where that one is, if anything could go wrong, it will go wrong. It makes me be real careful. And when I decided to do a little home repair myself, I said, no.
Good. Murphy's Law? Yeah, Murphy. Who's Murphy? Murphy's the guy that invented it. That's a good one. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for today. All right, Jeff Van Drew. As a direct line to President Trump, we'll see what he's thinking, what Trump's thinking coming out of this and the upcoming sentencing on July 11th. We have Dom's Money Melody. We got the side question going on. And I'll update you a little bit more on the whole matter of President Trump saying why he didn't go after Hillary Clinton. Think it was a wise decision. All right. Shame Joe Biden, though, couldn't resist. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in on Talk Radio 1210.
Dom Giordano, weekdays noon till 3 from Talk Radio 1210, WPHD.